The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello, this is Mariana Cacciatore, and I'm here today with my guest to talk about stuff all of us go through, heartbreak. When we're in it, we're in it. And it's important to honor your feelings, but there are also times when we get a glimpse that there is something larger than this sorrow. How do we follow that thread while honoring our feelings? Can we enlarge the canvas we're painting in our mind about this episode in our life? How do you want to hold the legacy of this heartbreak? Today you're going to meet one of my dear friends, Denise Martini, who is a Hakomi practitioner and a movement facilitator. We were having a great conversation about this topic as it relates to generosity, which is what Bread for the Journey is all about, and it felt so right to invite her on the show that I just in that moment, invited her. So what does heartbreak and generosity have to do with one another? Grief and gratitude? We'll be talking about that today with Denise. But before I introduce her, I'd like to say a few words about Bread for the Journey. We're a 25-year-old nonprofit organization that last year decided to host a radio show. And the reason? We thought this might be a good vehicle for getting the word out about our work in a way that was more than sound bites or marketing slogans, real conversations with real people we engage with. And what does Bread for the Journey do, you might be asking? We're an organization with 26 chapters in 26 cities throughout the country. Each of them are run by volunteers who give small grants, micro grants we call them, to other people in the community, people who are doing work that makes their city or town more just or healthy or vital. We give to a wide range of things, from arts to education to the environment, children, teens, adults, elders, health and wellness. Everything that a community might need, we're open to talking about. I want you to know more about us, so I would like at this moment to announce our shiny new website. We just launched it on Thursday. I'm very proud of this project. It's the website is colorful, it's easy to navigate, it's inspirational, and it's informational. It's easy to read. There's lots of photos. And I can't tell you how delighted I am with the outcome of this year-long project. So take a moment after the radio show to visit us at breadforthejourney.org. And you'll see across the top navigation bar, there's a tab called Our Stories. And if you go there, you'll see all the stories of the grants I've just been talking about from all of our chapters around the country. And if you go to the tab that says Find a Chapter, you'll see every one of our 26 chapters, and with one click each, you'll go straight to their websites, and you'll be able to see what it is they're doing locally in their communities. It's a very exciting project. When I say we launched on Thursday, we really launched 27 websites. It was a big project, and as I said, I'm very proud of it, and I hope you like it. And if you do, or, you know, if you have any criticism or constructive criticism or feedback about the site or any great praise, just go to the comments in the, again, on the navigation bar. It says contact us, and that email will come straight to me, and I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts were about the website. So to bring this back around to our subject today, I'll say this. One of the most important things we've learned in our 25-year history at Bread for the Journey is that often the people who approach us with a project that addresses a problem they're solving are often people who have lived through that problem themselves. It's remarkable how often that happens. And it has become apparent to us that in the fire of hardship, something beautiful can be born. And often it is. We have found that people are naturally generous. So to talk about how this happens is my good friend, as I said, Denise Martini. Denise is certified as a Hakomi practitioner, massage therapist, and movement facilitator. She's been involved in the healing arts since 1989. Her passion is something she calls the art of being alive, which is all about assisting others in their journey toward wholeness and self-discovery through somatic, spiritual, and movement inquiry. Her approach is a collaborative self-study practice that calls forth who you really are. She maintains a private practice in San Francisco and the town of Sonoma and teaches movement at retreats and various venues. You can find her at her website, somasense.com. That's S as in Sam, OMASENSE.com, somasense.com. So, Denise, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mariana. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you on the show and share you with all of our audience. So, I have a question. Why SomaSense for the name of your work? Tell us what SomaSense means.
SomaSense is about using the wisdom that resides in our body, which is our emotional intelligence along with sensations, and it's part of the whole picture that we are. We are both mind and body, and there's somehow it's countercultural in our culture and becoming less that, but it still is that we often can value the mind over the body, and all of that resides. The soma sense is a kind of intelligence that when we really slow down and listen to it, there is so many gifts inside and so much guidance, so much wisdom resides within that. And that's been part of my journey, is the disconnect from that to the reconnection. That, of course, is always an ongoing process, but one that is so important to be able to include the wisdom and the intelligence of our bodies, especially to be able to contain and hold those larger, harder aspects of life, sorrows, traumas, hardships. We really need our bodies to be able to hold this as a container, like a boat, that we have our tools that we need to ride the rivers of life that takes us through rapids and smooth sailing times. And so that is how I came about to calling my work Soma Sense.
That's great. It makes so much sense.
Doesn't it? It's really the whole of who we are. And yet it operates at such a different pace than the mind, and it's much more in nature's time, slowing down. So again, I can't stress enough how much it's countercultural and yet so much important. And as you said, makes so much sense. And it just resonates with ourselves, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it's the truth.
It does. It does. So, I wonder if you could perhaps give us a picture story of working with a client, perhaps somebody that is in the fire of their grief. They come to you with the tools that you have at hand and using the body mind. Where do you begin and how do you work with your clients?
Well, I think the starting point is always creating an environment and a context of absolute respect and loving kindness and non-judgment towards everything and anything that somebody brings into the work. And I think one of the main things that people are asking for, and I certainly am asking for when I go to be held by somebody in whatever modality, is that I am helping somebody hold and sit with and be with something that is hard to be with. So cultivating that welcoming and that non-judgment and welcoming all that arises, which on the one hand, it sounds, well, of course, but to actually provide that so that people begin to make friends with these places that so often I hear people say, I want to get rid of this or I can't tolerate this. So it's really a practice of I often call it holding the candle for them while they're learning how to hold the candle and tolerate and be with and include things that are generally very countercultural, like emotional intelligence. We all know how people can get uncomfortable around our emotions, or they can tell us to get over it and move on. All these different pieces to actually include somebody's sorrow and pain and say that is welcomed here, and to hold and know that there are gifts that come from this. So that's the starting point.
Can you talk about gifts that come from this with people at the beginning?
Well, you know, Mariana, I just said as we were connecting before this, I'm so grateful to be here talking about such a bittersweet topic, because it is one that is near and dear to my heart, both in my own personal process and ongoing process, as well as sitting with people. And so it's how many times did I say, and that I hear people say, and probably you and many of the listeners have heard people say, I wouldn't wish it upon anybody, but boy, what a gift it has been at some point in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just, I'm thinking right now, just my most recent work with people of sitting with someone that is telling me, wow, I have so much self-hatred towards myself, and I just want this to go away. And as we make room to feel how that arises in the body and include it and be with the pain of that, sure enough, tears of compassion start dripping out of this person's eyes, and he's able to feel sweet compassion towards himself. Now, if that's not a gift, right? There's just so many. And then like working with people that they've had the pain of abuse, not being included in decisions about themselves. They've had to get speedy and split off from themselves because they can't tolerate it. And as we work together, and I work in a collaborative way, we include the body, we include the mind, that they get this direct experience and begin to feel this inclusion. And I'm thinking of one woman in particular who that was her wound and her pain and her sorrow, who now works with children herself and collaborates with them and gives the gift back of inclusion. It's just so touching.
So you said that was her issue. Was it abuse?
It was abuse, mm-hmm. and not being included, not mm-hmm. having any say in mm-hmm. what happens to her,
right.
that she got really speedy and cut off and scared and disconnected.
Right.
And as we did our body work and our movement together, and we explored these painful places, and we began to include her knowing and intuition, her sorrow and her pain, that just it started to emerge, like really getting the power of inclusion and the healing of that by feeling the pain of so not being included, mm-hmm. and then having the experience together in a safe environment that we can include her soma sense, her signals that tell her what her truth is about her pain and about her enthusiasm for life, which is working with children and supporting them and asking them, well, what do you think about what kind of movement would work here in this particular performance? And the power of that. So through her, I mean, it's the classic, the wounded healer, right?
Right.
That when we, and it's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive to say to somebody, go into the pain. But that's where the gift emerges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, as I, you know, wrote the flyer, the e-flyer that's going out for this, I pulled up a quote from Bread for the Journey's founder, Wayne Muller, who is also a therapist, and, you know, one who has walked many people, as you have, through the fire of grief and loss. And there's a quote from his writing that says, "Thus our sorrow becomes our gift as soon as we begin to heal. The instant we experience some degree of inner clarity or spaciousness, in the very next breath, generosity naturally arises. As we feel the measure of our own strength, we simultaneously experience a natural impulse to share it. This is not faith. This is simple spiritual physics. As we are fed, so do we wish to feed others." Hmm. Isn't it a beautiful quote?
It is so beautiful.
Yeah, I felt like he really nailed it there, you know. And, you know, even I, maybe I'm aware of this at a greater degree because of my own experience, you know, of, you know, not having gotten therapy until I was 25, you know, when I suffered much of my life from a grief around a murder of a childhood friend. It happened when I was 11. But, you know, I began therapy at 25, and when I emerged at 29, I remember my therapist saying to me, "So what do you want to do now?" And what just burst out of my mouth is, "I want to create a center for children and their families grieving a death. No kid should have to carry this unhealed. Grief is, you know, it's just a sign that we love somebody, you know, and that really." So we're coming close to a break, and we've just begun to touch on this whole topic. And I hope those of you who are listening will stay with us. We're going to come back in a minute with Denise, and we'll continue with this subject.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and this is Mariana Cacciatore, and I'm talking to my friend, Denise Martini, who is certified as a Hakomi practitioner, massage therapist, and movement facilitator. We're talking about her business called SomaSense. And in this last episode, she really outlined some of the beginning steps of how she begins to work with clients. And as you were painting that picture for us, Denise, I just felt so warm. I just felt like, what an inviting place to be. Like, if I'm going through something hard, that's the kind of therapist I want to hold space for me. And so, on behalf of everybody you've worked with and everybody you will work with, I want to say thank you. And now I'd actually like you to take us a little bit deeper into the process. Very first step is creating this sort of container of compassion and safety. Where do you go from here?
Yeah, and then I help people develop their awareness through the use of mindfulness so that they can begin to self-track their experience. And mindfulness is a different state of consciousness than, say, what we're in right now, where we just talk back and forth. And the power of that, that's in mindfulness, in that different state of consciousness, new experience, new clarity, new information can appear. It's much like what the quote you were reading from Wayne was saying, that when some degree of inner clarity comes, that's the very place that healing begins to happen. And it's empowering to be able to slow things down, develop mindfulness, have awareness that really allows then for the person to be able to include everything. And then we begin to, I love to speak to this dance between agency and allowing. We begin to explore, like, when there's a need for agency, which would be learning something like learning how to ground oneself when one starts to get overwhelmed, or how to reach out for support. It's a kind of action. It's a something that we go after. And the dance between that and knowing when we need to just allow for the feelings and the images and the sensations to arise and to be with. So it's a dance between an action state and a being state that we go further into the work from there. And I just so implicitly trust the process and trust the truth that within the sorrow is the gift, so that inviting somebody to stay in this painful place, as long as they have the tolerance to stay with it, that the gem and the golden nugget emerges.
That's a big, as long as they have the strength to stay with it. I do remember, I do remember times in my life when, you know, I called forth some healing and it felt like things were really moving too hard and too heavy. And so I really had to, for me, I would just shift my prayer, slow this down. This is too much. This is more than I can handle. And I imagine you have that experience with clients as well.
That's right. With clients and myself, and I'm trained in trauma work, and it's so beautiful what's happening out there in the trauma world these days, and all the neuroscience and the way of working with trauma is through the body, is directly with the soma sense. And the term we use is called building the window of tolerance. So we're educating and helping people learn how to know from the inside when it's too much and how to slow it down and how to put on the brakes and over time build the tolerance to actually stay with the pain. Mm-hmm. Because that it is so true what you are saying, and such an important part of the work. And in a way, that is the work. Right? Because when we have these overwhelming experiences happen, part of the reason they're overwhelming is because we can't stay with it. Mm-hmm. We have to split off. We have to shut down. So the only way to reap the gifts from these painful places is to genuinely slow it down in a way that we can begin to metabolize the experience. We can begin to gain the resources that we didn't have then. We can come out of the isolation like your grief that you went through as a child. There was a certain level of isolation to it.
Mm-hmm.
My wound as well. That's the nature of these painful experiences. So we slow it down, and as we metabolize it, we gain the insights and the missing pieces, mm-hmm. and incorporate them back in, and then we are fed again. And so we do wish to feed others from that place. I'm thinking of another client of mine that lived with high trauma. His body, his soma sense was his enemy. And over the years, as we've cultivated a place for him to find safety within himself, he is now... his process started going into having a life that he felt good. There was good feelings. He's embarking on sensuality and sexuality in his mid-60s. He wants to share it with the world because he has gone down and through his pain to come up and out the other side to reaping a good life. It's just a natural process when we can tolerate and stay with what's uncomfortable. The gems really do come. And that's why we need to be with people, friends, communities that really know this, that have traveled that road and know the truth. Because, boy, we know when we're in the throes of it, it's really hard to see that.
You talked about his soma sense was his enemy. Do you think that happens often with people?
Very often, because what happens is that our soma sense as children it doesn't get validated. Like mom is angry and you say, oh, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. And it's like this mixed thing, or our body is saying fear, 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 but we can't dare say I'm scared. So what happens is all of our signals feel like our enemy. But what's truly happening there is that the enemy is that we weren't supported in listening to our body signals. So it feels like our enemy. And that's where we begin to befriend it. And we say, let's just see what it's like to feel the sensations in our bodies, not even as fear or connected to our story, but what are you noticing right now? Oh, a racy heart. Oh, well, we can be with a racy heart, right? Mm-hmm. And we begin to befriend it. And as we turn towards it, lo and behold, things change from moment to moment. And all of a sudden, we can breathe a little easier, or tears come that haven't flowed before. Mm-hmm. And then there's relief that comes. And we start seeing that it's okay to listen to our bodies. And then the next stages of that is that we actually recognize it's an intelligence.
Right.
It was our bodies were telling us the truth.
Right. And we couldn't listen because of the contradiction that we experienced earlier in our life between
That's
those
right.
two things. Right.
That's right. Or we need help, but we intuitively know that whoever is around us can't handle it. I mean, again, here's these countercultural pieces. How many times does somebody cry and somebody gets uncomfortable about
it? Right.
Versus just let's hold presence and say, I know you're okay, even though you have tears streaming down your face.
Right.
And let that be okay. Or somebody gets scared. And it's so beautiful. I have a granddaughter. I'm always so impressed when she's 3 years old and she turns to me and she says, I'm scared, Mama. And she comes and climbs into my lap. And I just hold her until she's done. And then she gets up and goes.
That's exactly how it happens.
Exactly. But imagine a child that had nowhere to go when they felt scared.
Yeah, I can very much imagine that.
Or they're sad, right? We all can. Because we've all been there. And, you know, as much as I want to say there was love in the environment I grew up in, there was also a way, my own pain, from really not having an ally and an advocate on my side that I could really bring everything to. And that's how our soma sense becomes our enemy.
Yeah, I'm thinking so often about kids coming into the world today. There are more parents who are aware of this process and who are really, actually, just like the example you just described, holding space for a crying child, just holding space for them to cry. Simple as that. And how that's going to impact the whole next generation of young people growing up.
Yes, it's very exciting, the evolution of consciousness and conscious parenting. And I think the example with my grandchild is just that. She is being raised attachment style, and that she comes to me when she's, you know, that's an expression of the evolution, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, and there's a thing that I would say all the time at the center that I founded. You know, I worked for years with families grieving a death.
Yes.
And so the phrase we would say is, we have everything within us that we need to heal.
That's right.
And it's so true. This is really what you're describing in the soma sense. And it's our bodies that are giving us messages, as well as our mind that are giving us messages. And when we're paying close attention, we follow that. We can allow that to happen. We can follow that thread. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about my work is I don't have to be the expert. I am mm-hmm. not the expert.
Mm-hmm.
My client
mm-hmm.
is. I bring and create a right environment for that deep wisdom. And it happens over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That as they go inside, what pops up is their own knowing, their own compassion, their own knowing that, yeah, that was really off. And I knew that I should have been treated with respect and care.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you are probably a good example of this. You know, the moment we begin to heal, you know, we are generous, and our natural impulse is to be generous in the world. And I don't know the depth of your own personal story of why you got involved in this work, but I think that's part of the story. You had your own experiences, and then here you are doing this healing work. Can you comment on that?
I can. You know, the short version of one of my big challenges that took me on this journey was chronic fatigue syndrome at a young age of 30. And I was a professional dancer and, boy, went through a major identity crisis. And, you know, I remember feeling, don't you dare tell me there's a gift to this. It just feels like utter hell. And through that process, I went down and through into the pain of identity crisis and having to let go of the life and the person I was to really discover the pains around that I was dealing with were really self-esteem issues. There were boundary issues. There was the fact of loss of my own power and my own voice, my own addiction issues, all of that, that as I went down and through and really did my own personal work, that I have come up and out the other side really, I think if I said it in a nutshell, what my gift is, and what I bring out of my generous heart to the world is really advocating for the individual and supporting those people in finding their true self-worth, in helping them establish and find boundaries. I remember distinctly this one day of meditating, and I was sitting there thinking about a friend to say, you know, I can't do this because I'm sick. And it just, I snapped out just saying, wow, I am not going to let my illness be my boundary. I am going to learn how to set boundaries. So I have a generosity and a spirit for touching as many people that I can to support them and be a companion to their soul on this journey.
And what a companion you are. This is a beautiful, beautiful interview. I'm so, I've known you for a long time and we talk about work, but I haven't heard it all in this one container. And I'm so grateful to be doing this with you today. We've got to take a break. So to our listeners, we hope you're enjoying the interview and that you'll stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with Denise Martini.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Are you happy with the management and leadership style of your organization? Do you think it could use some improvement? No matter the level of leadership at your organization, you'll be sure to learn something new when you tune in to ADESIS Methodology for Collaborative Management for Exceptional Results with Dr. Ishak ADESIS. Through a unique lecture and interview format, we'll bring you ideas, questions, and answers that will help you run any organization, whether for-profit or not. Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here today in an interview with Denise Martini, who is certified as a Hakomi practitioner, massage therapist, and movement facilitator. And she has a quote from Khalil Gibran that I think we'll open this segment with, and then we'll move from there. Do you want to begin, Denise?
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to just read a couple of segments from his on sorrow, actually. And I read this to remind myself and everyone who's listening that there's a real reason to go into our sorrow. And maybe the first and most important reason is because that is where our generosity springs from. And so when we go down and through into that, that is where we get to give our gifts back to the world. And so from Kaheli is, joy is your sorrow unmasked. The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. So here's another reason to go into our sorrow, is because that helps us to hold more joy as well. And when you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Some of you say joy is greater than sorrow, and others say, nay, sorrow is the greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. Together they come, and when one sits alone with you at your board, remember that the other is asleep upon your bed. So those are two really good reasons to go into the holes, H-O-L-E, of our hearts, to come out into the wholeness of ourselves, where we get to give back our generosity to the world and our gift to the world, and we get to contain more joy.
Right. That is a beautiful quote, and that's something I'm going to put up somewhere. And for those of you listeners, I hope you will as well. What a beautiful connection between joy and sorrow. Thank you, Denise. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you talked a little bit about the challenges that you've faced along the way, and you've shared something about clients and how you've seen this transition happen. I've experienced it myself. We've experienced it at Bread for the Journey. You know, I guess at this point I'd have to say this is kind of a universal process. If people really do honor this, it can happen and does. Well, it's not can happen. It is part of who we are. Yeah, it does happen. It's a natural thing. And yet we're always so, I don't know, resistant to wanting to touch on that pain. One of my favorite authors I want to mention, since we're talking about this, who I think talks quite honestly and directly about this, and particularly from a Buddhist perspective, is Pema Chodron.
Yes.
Do you read any of her things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think this is really her primary. So she talks about a lot of subjects, but she always comes back to this thing about stepping into the truth of a situation and not shirking away, but really kind of stepping forward and into it. And listening to you, what feels so good is that doing it with somebody like you, who has so much, I don't know, compassion, and can hold that space in a way that then sort of becomes a model for the client.
That's right. That's such an important piece. I really operate and have been supported. I just want to put a plug in for all of my many wonderful teachers that have really been a model for me and really have held what I come to hold and know now as a both and model. Like, that is how we can hold it all. Sorrow is part of the human condition, and it's not all of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pema Chodron, like all of these great teachers that help us hold opposites.
Mm-hmm, right.
And really help us hold all of it. There's a Jungian term, mysterium conjunctionis, that I just love, because it's really where opposites reside, which is in a way what we're saying, like in our sorrow is our gift.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely opposites, but they're one of the same. It's like death and birth, as Gandhi has said. They're different aspects of the same state. So we could say that about sorrow and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are dealing with the human condition. And if we can remember that, and I just have to say, Mariana, for as much, I'm sure you experienced this to date, as many times as I've gone into the dark holes of my pain and sorrow, I still will want to resist and kick and scream the next time it comes up. It's just fascinating to me. And you know, the only thing that helps me go again is because I've gone enough times and experienced the gifts that it gives me the courage again and again, because this, none of this that we're speaking to is a done deal. Mm-hmm. It's like life is hard. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of Pema Chodron's things. Right. It's like being a human being is terrifying. So we have to have these gifts and tools. We have to have companions, whether it's a therapist, friend, community, that keeps helping us. And one of my many great teachers, John Eisman, created a whole model called Recreation of the Self. And the piece I want to name, because you and I were talking about this with Wayne's work and how generosity keeps springing forth, is on John's Eisman's model, there's an organic self, and somehow there seems to be a part of us that is not touched by all the woundedness, that there's something pure that stays whole, and that as we go down into our pain, we touch back into our organic self in the place that does still hold hope, even with all the horrors in the world. So we have to remember this, where opposites resides, that we are both whole and we're wounded. There's pain and there's sorrows and there's gifts and there's ruptures and there's wholeness.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of an interview I had just a couple of weeks ago with Mark Nepo. He has a new book that just came out called 7,000 Ways to Listen. And what he talks about in the, I'm only through part of the book, but what he's talking about is not just, you know, we think of the word listen, we think of listening to another person, but actually the first step in this book, the trajectory of this book, is really getting it that the world is alive, in a sense. These are my words, it's not the way he says it, but that even the bird that lands on the tree right in front of us, there's a message for us. If there's a message for us, just pay attention. Be here in this present moment. What is it that the universe is saying to us in this present moment? And so that kind of aliveness is happening from within us, and it's happening all around us.
All the time. It
all
never stops.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And all of these are such good reminders, because the human condition is that we fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep and wake up. And so as you say that, it just reminds me to really take in this moment, everything in my immediate environment, in my body, hearing you, knowing that we're in this field that's so much greater than ourselves,
so
that we
true.
Can really rest into and trust.
Yeah. And as you call it, this is the art of being alive.
It is. it truly is, because and with that, like when somebody's doing a piece of artwork, right, it's really an ongoing dialogue of listening and interacting. And what I do in my work is really inquiry, which is an ongoing unfolding process, which is artistry. And I think that as you reflect that back, I think being alive is an art.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Truly, truly. And each one of us is the artist, to claim Mary Oliver's poem that says about claiming this one precious life.
Right, right, right. You know, in the work that you do, you also do work as a movement facilitator. We're getting kind of close to the end of the interview, but if you could share just a few words with us about what you do in that regard.
Oh, I love that work so much. I'm having a newfound love affair with it at the moment. And essentially, as I go into movement inquiry, the session actually begins with going inside and being with oneself and moving, however large or small. I have experience in authentic movement and a lot of in-depth experience with continuum movement. And both of these movements, really the entry point is going in and beginning with movement. So we begin with the language of the body. And I can't stress how different that is than a connection that begins with talking. So as somebody arrives, that is our starting point. There may be a few words of exchange and just letting somebody arrive and settle. And then we do 3 to 5 minutes where I bear witness and I hold space as they go inside and they get to breathe, sound, move, stillness, as large, as big, as small as they want. And then from there, what comes forth from their soma sense, their sensations, the body places that are calling their attention, images, feelings, and then we launch in from there, from starting with their own teacher, really. It's their teachers that appear and say, this is what I want to deepen into. And then from there, there may be certain breaths or sounds that we play with. There may be movement motifs. There may be probes that we use in Hakomi, that statements that we then explore and see how that feels. So it's quite exciting, very experiential, and very creative and collaborative.
Oh, this sounds so exciting. And just a quick question. Can you ever do this work with people by phone from a long-distance location?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a different kind of sensing on both parts, but I've done very effective work on the phone and at a distance.
Well, I just really want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today, Denise. It's been one of my most fun interviews. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's been very delightful.
It's been great. And to our listening audience, Bread for the Journey, as you know, is a nonprofit organization, and we could use your support. If you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And you can reach Denise also. I've just named our website. You can reach Denise at SomaSense, SomaSense.com. And I then close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.